Well, everybody, this is Robert, one of the tech doctors, and along with me is Allison Hartley, yet another tech doctor. How are you today, Allison?
I'm doing okay. I had to claw my way up out of a bunch of gadgets in which I'm currently drowning to be able to find my microphone, but I'm here.
Excellent. So, yeah. And I'm so very glad you didn't drown.
Me too.
I'm sure you are. Probably even gladder than I am.
Probably.
Well, today we have an exciting podcast to bring to you all because we're going to make it all about the brand new iPhone X. We both have one. They are very shiny and new and very cool. And I guess you know, Allison, that I've made no bones about the fact that I love iPhone, right? You've heard me say that before, probably.
Just a couple of times, and you might have heard me basically corroborate that sentiment. I check out other technologies from time to time, but I always go back to the iPhone.
Yeah, I know you do, and you do everything on your phone. And the iPhone X is my 9th iPhone to own.
Wow.
So pretty amazing, huh? Everything from the 3GS all the way up to the iPhone X.
Yeah, I've had from the 4 when it came on Verizon up to the 10 now.
All right. So one thing that I love about iPhone X is, first of all, how it feels. To me, it's just the right size. It's just a little bit taller than iPhone 7, not as large by any stretch as the 7 Plus, which is what I had before getting the 10, but it's still just about the right size to do Braille screen input, which I was wondering if it would be big enough for that, but it is. And it's very shiny. I don't know which one you have, but I have the silver one, and it's very shiny with the glass on the front and the back, and the stainless steel edges are amazingly smooth and polished. It feels great in the hand. And so just holding the iPhone X makes me love it. But the thing is, Allison, it loves me back.
It does. That's the thing with Apple products. They love you back. They get to know you in a private, secure sort of way, and they love you back.
They do. And this phone in particular loves me back because you know what? It recognizes and cares about my face and my face only.
That's right. It only has eyes for you.
It only has eyes for me. And, you know, that just really lets me know that this whole idea that Ray Kurzweil had about the computer-human interface and the two coming closer and closer together, which he called the singularity, I swear it's getting nearer with the iPhone X.
I would definitely agree. I've enjoyed Face ID so far. I really have. I don't find that attention mode works for me. I can open my eyes, but it doesn't notice that they're open. But with it turned off, it works beautifully.
So I haven't tried attention mode, but for people who aren't familiar with it or who maybe haven't heard too much about the iPhone X, would you mind explaining what attention mode is?
Sure. So when a sighted person uses the iPhone with Face ID, they have to look at the iPhone in order for the Face ID to authenticate and to unlock the phone. But if you're blind and it sees that you have voiceover running when you're setting it up, it turns that off because it recognizes that a lot of blind people might have some difficulties with attention mode. Now, you can turn it back on in settings and have to open your eyes and have it notice that you're looking straight on at it to open, to unlock. But it doesn't work for me. So I turned it on and then I immediately turned off all references to attention mode because it just wasn't working.
Yeah, I haven't even tried it. I know some people, not many, but a few have said they feel like that turning attention mode off makes the phone a lot less secure. I guess their thinking is that someone could come up to you, grab your phone, wave it in front of your face, get it unlocked, and take off with it. Gosh, you know, I just have trouble getting real worried about that.
Yeah, because I feel like I'm pretty aware of my surroundings and who's around me. if I was somewhere where I felt unsecure and wanted to just use my passcode, I could squeeze all the buttons on the sides together. I could squeeze both volume buttons and the power button together, and it would lock it so that Face ID wouldn't work. Also, what I have done to mitigate the security issue a little bit, and because it drives me crazy, I turned off Raise to Wake because it was waking when I didn't want it to. So now, in order for Face ID to trigger, I have to physically push the button. So the likelihood that a common criminal would realize, oh, I have to push the button and wave it in front of her face to make this work, is not very high, I would think. So I'll take the risk.
Well, actually, can't you just touch the screen with a finger to wake it up? That's how I do it.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too. It depends on where my hand is. Usually I'm holding it so that my hand is right by the button.
Yeah.
And then I find the home indicator. Yeah.
Yeah, so. The iPhone X is the first one that has this touch to wake ability, just like the watch does. So you can just touch the screen and wake it up, or press the side button, as you say. So I guess let's just, since we are kind of finishing up with Face ID, I would say for me, the trick to it, honestly, has been remembering to hold the phone out in front of my face.
Yep.
So that it can see my face and unlock. It's taken me a couple days to remember to do that whenever I take my phone out. I'm guessing you probably experienced something similar.
I have. And for that reason alone, I don't know if it will ever be quite as fast as Touch ID, but I recognize where it is more secure. So I'm willing to live with that. The only time I find that it's kind of a pain is if I'm laying in bed. If I'm laying in bed, I just want to check something real quick. I have it set actually to show my full notifications on the screen. By default, it is actually set to not show your full notifications, just to show you where it comes from.
Right.
But you can turn that off. So I did, because if I just want to be able to check something really quick, I don't want to have to sit up, put my, you know, put it up, the phone out in front of my face, wake up Jeremy. You know.
So. You mean sit up like an animal?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to have to do that.
Right. And okay. I know if I really need to get into the phone, I know I can enter my passcode too. So that's the only time where it's really less convenient than Touch ID for me. But other than that, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I guess I haven't really tried unlocking it while in bed, but I guess it's hard to get your face at the right angle, or the phone at the right angle to your face or something. That's why it's a problem when you're lying in bed, I guess.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same issue as when you have it on a table. You can't just put your hover your face in front of it, above it, and look down. So it's kind of the same thing. What I have found, though, that's interesting is I can have it on my little iPhone dock at work.
Uh-huh.
And just touch the screen, and my face is at the proper angle that if I just turn my head, it'll usually unlock, which is nice.
The place that I have the best luck with it is if I'm sitting upright or standing upright, and I simply hold a phone, not quite at arm's length, but a pretty good little distance away from my face.
Almost at arm's length, uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty good little distance away. Then it unlocks very quickly. And, of course, then we get to the other part of the equation, which is iPhone X doesn't have a home button. So you have to swipe up from the bottom to actually open up your home screen. And I'm finding that, honestly, to be just about as easy after a few days as pressing the home button.
Yeah, at first I screwed it all up when I was setting it up, and I turned on Zoom somehow.
Uh-oh.
And when I was trying to do the home gesture, because I found out actually through helping Allison Sheridan from the Nasillacast, that when you are a voiceover user and you do the home gesture, you swipe up only about a third of the way of the screen to invoke home, and then a little bit further up, maybe two thirds, you continue swiping to invoke the app switcher with the second little bit of sound feedback that you get. But when you're a sighted user, it's the opposite. So you go all the way up for home and just part of the way up for app switcher. So she was having trouble because of that. She wasn't getting it to work. But then I showed her how to do it. And I think that's why I initially had some trouble, though, with the home gesture, is because I was listening to all the cited mainstream podcasts on how to do it.
Yeah. So what you're saying, it's just the opposite for voiceover users.
It is the opposite for voiceover users. Well, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Quite frankly, I'm kind of glad that it's the opposite. I like our way of doing it.
Yeah. I think the way it's done was purposeful. I think swiping up a little ways for home, which is what you're going to do most of the time, is a more natural gesture for voiceover users, especially when you've got the app switcher gesture, you know, sliding a little further up above that. I think that makes the most sense, honestly.
Yeah, I do too. The only time where I have found the gestures to be a little bit challenging would be if I'm in a loud environment and I'm trying to hear the little blip for the home indicator.
Right.
I have found that can be just a little bit challenging, but most of the time I just kind of go on muscle memory and it works.
Yeah, because I don't believe, and I could be wrong about this, I don't believe there's a tactile thing to correspond with the blip at the very bottom for letting you know you're on the home area where you can start sliding. I don't think there's anything tactile that happens. I think it's just a little beep that you hear, right? I don't recall anything tactile.
Right. It's just a little bloop. It's just a sound. And I wish that they would have used that Taptic engine to greater effect.
Yeah. And maybe that's something that will change, because when you slide up to actually get to the, where you can lift your finger to go home, there is a tactile Taptic feedback there.
Yeah. It's very subtle. Yeah, but there definitely is.
And another one there for the app switcher. So, you know, I think honestly for me, I wasn't having any problem with the home button. So it was fine the way it was. But with iPhone 10, it's just fine this way as well.
Yeah.
Different, but I'm not having a problem with it.
No, me neither.
Yeah, and then the other significant gestures that are different is you actually come down from the top of the phone to go to Control Center, which is the first tactile feedback you get as you slide down. And if you keep sliding down, you get a second tactile feedback, which will let you then open up your notifications. So these are two new gestures that we've had to get used to a little bit.
I find that I'm having a lot more trouble with those. I'm having a lot more trouble getting that initial sound that you're at the top of the screen consistently, but you can still find the status bar and do the three finger flick up and down for Control Center and Notification Center respectively. So I'm not too worried about it. You know, I figure if I find it and can do the other gesture, great.
Sure.
But if I don't, then it's no big deal. So
yeah, I find if you touch right at the top of the screen, the very top of the screen, you'll get that little blip that lets you slide down. But it just takes some practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good that they kept the older gestures for bringing up Control Center and notifications, that you don't have to learn the new ones at all or right away. Certainly if they're not working well for you, you don't want to. It's also interesting to me that one of the big complaints that I've heard from at least some sighted users has been that it's somehow more difficult now to close out apps in the app switcher, but for voiceover users, they kept that three finger slide up gesture to close the app. And so it's just as easy as it's always been for us.
They did. Yeah. Steve Sheridan, Allison's husband, was jealous because he saw how he saw when Allison was playing with it, how easy it was to close apps in the app switcher. And he's like, oh, I want that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we kind of won that one.
Yeah.
In a way.
We lucked out for sure.
We lucked out with that one. It was apparently a bit difficult, a bit complicated for both of us to get these iPhone 10s set up and get our data on them. And we haven't had a chance to talk personally, so I don't know exactly what you went through, nor do you know what I went through. But I saw on Twitter that you had some problems with that, it looked like. So, and I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about that, just in case people get iPhone 10s and they run into some of the things that we found. Maybe that would help them work their way through it.
Sure. Yeah. So I initially elected to restore from an iCloud backup. And there's a new feature now in iOS 11 where if you are setting up a new device, you can just hover your old device over your new one and either use the camera or use a manual pairing code, which I chose to do. And it will copy over your Apple ID information. It will copy over your Wi-Fi information and some other basic stuff. And it will give you the option then to restore from an iCloud backup. Now, I was running the iOS 11.2. I think it was 11, I think it was stable, the stable, or not 11.2, excuse me, 11.1 at that point. And it was the most stable version, but the phone shipped with iOS 11.03. So I knew that it was going to have to update before the iCloud restore could fully work. But what I did was I chose the iCloud backup that I wanted, and it let me know, hey, I have to download the latest iOS 11 for this to work. So I'm like, all right, go ahead, do it. And I hit download and install. And where I found myself running into trouble was that it would download the update, and then it went to verifying update, and then I just kept getting this error: cannot verify update. You're not connected to the internet. Only I was connected to the internet. I was on my Wi-Fi, and even if I wasn't, I should have been on LTE. So I called T-Mobile, and I figured out, well, maybe it's disconnecting from the Wi-Fi. Is my phone activated? So I talked to T-Mobile, and they're like, no, it should just activate. So eventually, I did an encrypted backup of my old iPhone, and I then restored my 10 back to factory defaults and restored then from the encrypted backup. But it didn't really restore anything. It didn't restore settings. I had to go through and manually do all my settings. It didn't automatically trigger the download. I know that it doesn't save apps in iTunes anymore, but it didn't trigger the download of any of my apps. I had to go into the App Store, which was actually kind of a blessing in disguise because it forced me to go through and ask myself, do I really use this or that app? And I had to re-download all my apps. So it was essentially almost like it was setting it up from
a
from
new
scratch.
Phone. Yeah. It's like setting up a new phone. So are you saying that, just to make sure I understand, that you had your iPhone 10 plugged into your Mac with a cable and did and told it to restore a backup and it didn't actually do it?
Yeah, it said it was doing it, but it was really fast. And like I say, it just restored over the very basic things. So VoiceOver came up talking and it knew my Wi-Fi and everything, but that was about it, honestly. I was really disappointed.
I've never had that happen. And up until this time, I've always done it that way. I've always done it with a cable connected to my Mac. And one nice thing about doing it that way, if it works the way it's supposed to, and you did an encrypted backup on your Mac, it should restore virtually everything, even more I've found than what gets restored from an iCloud backup, even though theoretically it's supposed to restore everything too. But I found that I had to enter a lot of passwords after my iCloud backup. And you don't have to do nearly as many if you do a restore from the Mac. But yours didn't work right at all, doesn't sound like.
It really didn't. I was really, I was very frustrated because it was one of those things where I started the whole thing at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And I was like, oh, good. I was tired. So I was like, oh, good. I'll get this set up. And I will be in bed by 9 with my new phone and a book or something. And I didn't get to bed until after midnight because of all the stuff that I had to go through.
Wow. It took you 6 hours or close to it.
Yeah, it did. Good grief. It was really crazy.
Wow. That is crazy. My setup experience wasn't completely smooth sailing either, but it wasn't like that. I did the same thing you did. At first, my plan was to just set it up as a new phone and download all my apps manually and just start from scratch. But I got seduced into doing this new iOS 11 setup thing, and I did what you did. I held my old phone over top of the new phone, and they saw each other and kissed and made up and did whatever they do. And, you know, it restored the things that you mentioned. And then it asked me about doing an iCloud restore. And I said, yes. And then I ran into the same thing that you did where it needed to do an update of the phone firmware before it could do the iCloud update because the phones came like with an earlier version. And so, I think that's where my trouble began. I let it do the update, and it did it. It did the update fine. It came back and was updated, and then it asked me to enter my passcode so that it could continue the setup process. But for some reason, at that point, VoiceOver just kind of went crazy. It would let me enter maybe two numbers of my passcode, and then it was just dead. I wasn't sure whether VoiceOver itself was just dead or whether the whole phone was kind of frozen at that point. So eventually, after restarting the phone two or three times and trying to get ending up at the same place and deciding I didn't want to bang my head against the wall anymore, I asked Vicky to take a look at it, and she said, yeah, it's wanting you to enter your passcode, but even though the numbers were on the screen, they couldn't be activated. She couldn't do anything. It was just frozen. It was just stuck at that point. So I did the new reset that where you use you press volume up, then press volume down, press and release volume up, press and release volume down, and then press and hold the side button. Do all that sequence pretty quickly, and the phone will restart at that point. That's all I could do. I was stuck.
Yeah.
So the phone restarted and it came up, and it then, for whatever reason, VoiceOver still wasn't working, but it did let Vicky enter my passcode. And as soon as she did that, it spent maybe 20, 30 seconds doing some sort of completion of the whatever part of the update it had gotten stuck on. And then it just came back up, and everything was perfect. VoiceOver was back, and it all worked. Huh. It all worked as expected. But that was an unexpected wrinkle in trying to set it up this way using VoiceOver. And then it restored everything from iCloud, and including all of my folders and all of my apps. It didn't take that long to do it. Everything was just there, just like it had been on the iPhone 7. So I was really excited about that, and I thought, wow, this is, and it was really cool, honestly, how quickly it did it and how everything was there. So that was really great. And then I started getting this message like every 2 or 3 minutes, and certainly every time I would lock and unlock the phone, and the message was saying something like, cannot restore this item. It's being redesigned. Check back later. And the only choice I had was an okay button. It would just keep giving me this message over and over. Cannot restore this item. It's being redesigned. Check back later. So what does that mean? And I had no idea what the item was. It just said this item. I had no idea why it was having trouble or what it was having trouble with. So, but other than that, the phone was working perfectly. So I was like, I guess this is a new feature. I'll just live with this new message every couple minutes, and I'll just enjoy my iPhone 10. No, I'm kidding. But I did say at that point, okay, well, it's about my bedtime, and I had to go to work early the next morning. I said, you know what? I'm going to leave it overnight and see if it fixes itself. Mm-hmm. So I got up next morning and unlocked the phone, and there was the message again. Same thing. So I said, okay, I'm going to figure this out. So I went in and started looking through my iCloud settings, and I discovered that when I looked at the iCloud backup settings, it was saying, this phone is in the process of restoring data. We'll do an iCloud backup once the data restore is complete. Well, it had been stuck in that process for 10 hours. So I knew it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, there was a button on the screen there that would let you stop the restoring of the data. So I stopped it. And as soon as I stopped it, that message went away, and everything has been perfectly fine ever since. So it got hung on some update that it thought it needed to do that it couldn't do, or trying to restore a purchase or do something. I haven't figured out what, because everything that I've tested so far seems to be working fine. So some little wrinkles, in that whole setup process, but I'm really disturbed to hear the problem that you had, because I thought 100% I could rely on my Mac restoring everything from a backup. Now you're making me want to go erase my phone and try it out.
Yeah, I almost want to encrypt this phone and try it again, but I don't know if I want to go through all that. But it was really, really, like you said, quite disturbing. I really didn't expect that to happen.
That is disturbing, and I'm sure you did this too. because you and I are just alike with these things. Before I did anything, I wrote down the names of all my apps and which folders they were in and all that in case I had to go do what you did.
Well, no, that I'm not that organized. Okay. Honest with you, I'm just
You're not that obsessed is the thing.
I did put my phone, as soon as I got it though, I put it in a black case, okay. My space gray phone though, to keep it protected.
Okay. So, and what kind of case did you get?
I got the Apple leather case.
That's a really nice case. I haven't gotten a case. I'm probably not going to.
Yeah. Just as a person who carries my phone around everywhere and with the dog and everything, I don't trust myself with glass on both sides. And
yeah.
All I could see is Gary like putting his head under my arm to play.
Yes.
And that phone just flying out of my hand.
Yeah. Uh-huh, absolutely. Yeah. So did you get the folio case with the cover that comes out over the front, or just the leather case?
Just the leather case for now. I thought the folio might be just a tad of overkill for me.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'd be interested to see what it looks like, but I really prefer not having a case if I can get away with it. Now, if I break my $500 glass on the back, then I will, you know, have been foolish for not having gotten a case. But
my 7 Plus was a little worse for wear because I didn't have a case and had dropped it a couple of times.
Okay,
so I thought I'd better just. Rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah. Now, did you trade your 7 Plus in?
Oh, no. I did this whole thing where I still have my 7 Plus.
Okay.
But I did this whole thing where I had initially gone through the Apple store to do the order. And everybody seemed to be getting theirs earlier than their expected ship date. But mine kept saying the 17th to the 24th. Mm-hmm. So I went on eBay and I did some number crunching. And our closest Apple store, which ended up not having any 10s anyway, was like an hour away, and other ones were even further. Uh-huh. So I did the math and I'm like, well, if I got this phone and spent bunches of Uber money going to the Apple stores and everything, it's just cheaper for me to get it on eBay. It ended up being about the same. I mean, maybe I paid like $50 more.
Okay.
But I got it on eBay, and that means I don't have Apple Care, which is the only thing. But other than that, I mean, it's a perfectly new, it came in the box and it's perfect.
Well, can you put it on Apple Care, right?
I think I can add
it. If you wanted to.
Yeah, I think I can. And I think I will add Apple Care. I just have to figure out how.
Yeah, I would think you can just probably call Apple and add it if you wanted to. I'm not sure. I've never bought a phone on eBay. I don't know if that makes any difference or not. It's not registered to somebody else.
Nope. It was brand new. It had never been turned off. Yeah.
So what did you have to do? Did you have to put your T-Mobile SIM card in it?
Yeah. Or? I just took my SIM card out of my 7 Plus and put it in the 10.
Uh-huh. And everything worked normally from there.
Yep. It took like 2 attempts to activate it, but it usually does when you're activating it. When I'm activating a new iPhone, uh-huh. It's never quite that smooth. But and a lot of people were having a lot worse problems than I was. So,
yeah, I didn't really have any trouble with activation. It just the way you do it with AT&T is, you know, you don't have to change the SIM card or anything. It just takes you to the page on the phone itself where it does the activation.
Mm-hmm.
So it deactivates the 7 Plus and activates the 10 without all through the software, all through the web.
Yeah, I think if I had ordered it through T-Mobile or even through gotten the one through Apple, that would have probably happened. But because I got the GSM unlocked, it didn't come with any kind of – actually, it came with a SIM card in it, but I just threw it out because I was like, I don't know what this – SIM card. I don't know the carrier. I don't know anything about it. So,
Wonder if it. Yeah, it is curious. I wonder. Well, who knows if the person how they bought it. You know, like if they bought it like as an AT&T phone or who mm-hmm. knows. Anyway, that is interesting. Well, I'm glad you got it, and it sounds like it all that worked out just fine in the end. But it was a pain to get it set up.
It was, yeah. But now that it's working, I mean, it's a purchase that I'm really glad I made.
I find this to be by far the fastest, most responsive phone. I mean, it's lightning fast.
Oh, yeah. I've not really had any freezes. I will occasionally have some issues in some apps where focus will jump to the very bottom of the screen, and I don't know why that happens. I'm finding, though, in the latest iOS 11.1 little update that just came out, though, that that's happening significantly less.
The .1.1?
Yeah.
Or now we got .1.2, I believe.
I think so, yeah. Yes. Gosh, I need to check. I don't know what I'm running.
Yeah. There was an update, this 11.1.2, which I think mostly was for people who were having trouble in the cold climates with their iPhone 10 not responding when it was really cold.
I wondered about that because it gets fairly chilly in Napa, and it gets a little chilly in this house sometimes. So I believe I already installed that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, I don't know what people really meant by how chilly it had to be. But anyway,
yeah,
they're coming out with these updates fixing things fast and furious. So looks like Apple's really moving on this one. And also, it's interesting to me that so many of the pundits, the tech podcasters, the analysts were just absolutely convinced that this phone was going to be in huge short supply and we're going to be able to get it till March or April, a lot of us. But that's not turned out to be the case. You can get one now within 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, they definitely seem to have made enough, and yet it seems to be selling super well, which is really good, because of course Apple's on their way to becoming a trillion-dollar company,
yes,
and I think this
are.
will definitely help.
How do you feel about how expensive it is?
Apple products are always expensive.
Yeah,
you know, I just realize that whenever I make a decision as a consumer to purchase an Apple product, they're always going to charge a premium, and that's just the price you pay, quite literally.
Yeah, and there's never been a phone before with some of the technology that's in this phone. And so it's more expensive technology than what we've had in the past.
Right, and you can choose now either through Apple or through your carrier to pay it off in monthly installments or to buy it outright. So no matter where you are on the financial scale, it can work for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how many choices iPhone consumers have right now. You can get the 10, you can get the 8 or the 8 Plus or the 7 or the 7 Plus or the 6 or the 6 Plus or the iPhone SE. It's just kind of crazy, but there's something there in almost everyone's price range, I would think.
There really is, and they're all really good phones. Because my 7 Plus had taken a bit of a beating and the mute button wasn't working, I, for the past couple of weeks before I got my 10, was actually using an SE, and it's still a really good phone.
Yeah, I believe it's essentially a small version of the iPhone 6, right? Or maybe 6S.
6 or 6S, I believe.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, it was fast. It wasn't, you know, there were a few things where I noticed just a hair of lag, but I think because I use my phone so much for so many things, that was probably why I noticed it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I am just really thrilled with iPhone 10. I'm very happy that I got it. I have enjoyed it thoroughly I've had it for only a few days now, but everything is working great on it. Things are all set up. And so I had to, you know, re-enter, like I said, a fair number of passwords, join Audible, enter that Audible account information and do various things. But that happens with a new phone sometimes, especially if you do the restore from iCloud, which worked really well, except for that voiceover issue that I ran into. And honestly, I don't think if I had to do over, I don't think I would have tried to update the phone to a different version of iOS in the middle of that setup process. I think I would have opted out as soon as I could and updated the phone and done it again or done something different, because I think that's kind of where I ran into trouble.
Yeah, that seems to be where things went off the rails for me too. So I might have just set it up, you know, as a new phone
temporarily,
mm-hmm. and then updated it and then reset it and restored that way. That might have been ultimately a better, I do want Apple to get a little bit more elegant in terms of that, a little bit more seamless, but
yeah.
They're working on a lot of things right now. One note, if I could just go back to Face ID for a minute.
Sure.
It does seem to depend to some extent on some amount of ambient lighting, because I was waiting for an Uber with my dog and a backpack and a purse and all kinds of stuff in the rain, in the dark, the one night. And I found that it did require me to enter my passcode an awful lot for it to work, which was a little challenging for one-handed use. The Face ID was kind of letting me down a little bit, but I was using it. I typically, I am right-handed, but I typically use Face ID with my left hand, and I had my left hand full, so that might have been part of it. And I was trying to stay away from some jerk had dropped a wine bottle in the parking lot of where I was. And I was kind of off using it under the worst, most stressful circumstances, because I'm trying to keep myself and the dog away from the glass. And
those variables, it's hard to say whether it was the dark or whether you just weren't getting it at a good angle for your face. Or, I mean, it's kind of hard to say exactly what was going on, but not funny.
Yeah.
In any rate, not fun that it was hard to get it to unlock.
Yeah, that was my only bit of frustration. And I did rant a little bit on Twitter that night, but I ultimately knew that I was still going to keep the phone.
Yeah, I didn't see the rant from that night, but I saw something next morning like, well, I'm gonna hang on to my iPhone 10 after all, or something like that.
Yeah, so. I was getting pretty mad because I was like, I need to be able to depend on this. And but I realized that this is very new technology, and as a consumer, I've basically signed up for more or less beta testing it, you know. And it's going to keep learning. It's going to keep learning my face, and maybe next time I'm in that situation, it'll work a bit better.
Yeah, but you know, and I agree with what you're saying. It is brand new technology, and we're early adopters. But to me, I take a little bit of an issue with the idea that I'm beta testing. It doesn't feel like a beta product to me.
I would say okay. I'll give you that. I'll say more of a release candidate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because I take issue with people who are saying, oh, you know, it's probably not ready. You should wait till the next year or the year after, and then it'll be ready. But you know, honestly, it feels pretty ready to me right now. But I mean, I haven't had the experience you had of having trouble unlocking it so far.
I guess what causes me to make the beta comment is that you really just don't know a lot of times how these technologies are gonna work and what bugs or issues that you're gonna discover until you get it out in the wild. So in that way, that's where the beta feeling comes into play for me a little bit. Until you get it into millions of hands,
that's exactly right. And you don't know specifically exactly how it's all going to work for you until you get stuck in that god awful parking lot.
Yeah.
And then you see, wow, this is one place where, because of all these variables, this is a bit more inconvenient than maybe Touch ID was.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we all have a lot to learn, but it's so much fun learning about it.
It is. I have to say, I'm still loving the whole process.
Yep. It's really cool. So I would encourage anyone who is considering a new phone to give the 10 some consideration. It's really cool. If you like adopting to new technologies, learning these new gestures, getting used to Face ID, if you don't like that stuff, like I was talking to Vicky about it, and I said, boy, you know, I was kidding with her. I was like, too bad you can't have a new iPhone 10 like me. And she said, but I'd be sitting around trying to figure it out and trying to make it work. And I don't want to hassle with that. So, you know, if she were going to get one, and she's got an iPhone 7, she probably isn't going to get one this year, but you know, she might be someone like a lot of people who would prefer the 8.
Yeah. Jeremy still has his 7 Plus, and for now, he's going to hang on to it because it works fine for him, and he likes the Touch ID, and it's still plenty fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So point being, you know, it is cool that there are so many choices, but it's also a little bit more complicated now that there are so many choices.
It's true.
You have to be able to figure out the nuances between the different phones and from that determine which one's right for you. But I'd rather it be that way, honestly, than there not be enough choices for people.
I agree.
Well, I think that's all I know at this point about iPhone 10. Anything that you can think of that you've experienced that we should add to this extravaganza before we bring it to a close?
I can't really think of anything else. I mean, it's only been 10 or 11 days. So I think we've crammed a lot of knowledge into those days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been so much fun. And
it has been.
I'm sure we'll come back and be talking more about it as things develop, but just wanted to get this out so you guys could hear what our experiences have been like with iPhone 10 so far. And it's been really cool. It's new technology, and I'm loving the fact that Apple is moving forward, innovating with the iPhone. I mean, it's stayed the same or close to the same for a few years there, but now it's quite different. So I'm happy about it.
Me too. It's a leap forward.
Yep. Feels like it. All right, you all. Well, I think we'll sign off for now and get this out so you can hear about iPhone 10. So I'm just going to say, this is Robert, one of the tech doctors, and I'll say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley, the other tech doctor, saying bye, everyone.